now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out, your weekly LGBT plus magazine show. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Rose France. And today on the show, Rainbow Laces.
The team from the BCFM Sports Show will be here to talk about homophobia in sport.
And, oh no, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. A pantomime season, that is. Ivan's been checking it out.
All today, right here on Shout Out.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were not going to do that, Andy.
No. So, well, Lara would have killed me if I hadn't, wouldn't she?
Well, I thought you were going to give Rose a chance.
Oh, no, I don't do bum-bum, so...
I'd heard that.
Rose, I have heard that as well, actually, Steph. Yeah, it's a well-known fact.
I just do ta-ta!
I bet you do.
How is everyone? I haven't seen anyone for a while. Actually, no, I did the Christmas show, which I wish to remind all the listeners, our team won. Yes, get
in. That seems like ages ago.
No, it does.
I wasn't there, otherwise our team would have won.
That just seems like last year now.
Hey, indeed.
You can go ba-bumph then. But you didn't do ba-bum.
Do ba-bum.
I would just like to announce we're on a new station. Our eighth station joins us this evening. Radio Western Supermare, which is serving Western Supermare and the world.
And a very warm welcome to you.
Hi, WSM.
That works on radio, Mitch, very well. Are you waving?
I'm saying hi.
She is waving.
I am waving, though, yes.
So it is very good, actually, that this is not with video in some circumstances. Yeah. Especially when you start dancing around the studio, but there's a song that we like, isn't it?
So. I thought there was a camera in here.
Oh, well, there is, but it's not broadcast at this point. It's CCTV. Okay. It's,
yeah. Just making sure we're all behaving.
For the
listeners, Rose is trying to look at herself in the camera on screen.
Trying to find a good angle, Mitch, you know.
There's always a good angle, Rose.
You should love me view of the back of your head.
Darkness is usually mine.
Oh, bless.
It's always your friend.
So, it's really, really good. Eighth station for Shout Out, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, and we're in negotiations with another two.
Yes. Hello to... The problem is, I'm going to have to start printing it on the top of the script because I really like saying hello to everyone. It's really nice to say hello to all of them. We're trying to remember them all.
Do you want me to run through them? We're live with Froome and obviously BCFM, where the studios we're broadcasting from. So that's Froome, Pirate Nation Radio, and now Western Supermare Radio. At 9 o'clock this evening, we'll be with Glastonbury and Gloss FM. And on Fridays, we're with Base Bristol. That's at 9 o'clock. And on Saturday, we're at BSR 103.4 at 10 o'clock.
Bloody so right, yeah. Cool. That's well remembered. I'm impressed. Did you?
She's got a photographic memory. Yeah.
So now, talking of events going on, it's Louis's first time. Is it Louis? It's you and Mitch, isn't it? You two doing events. Events, our pick of the week, what have we got coming up?
You go ahead, Luke.
This one is great for those New Year's resolutions to get fit or do more exercise. It's an LGBT fitness class at Hamilton House on Stokescroft.
Is this a confession from you? Is this your New Year's resolution?
I will say I have been.
Have
I
you?
Did go once.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to make Louis go once. When I do Zumba.
Yeah.
Zumba class as well.
Once? Is that an eight class?
I went last week, my first time. So,
sorry. Yeah. Right, so fitness class.
It's for all ages and abilities. It's at Hamilton House, Stokescroft, every Monday, 7 to 8.
Cool.
Yep.
Great. Now, this might not be particularly LGBT. However, I think that there's lots of folk that might like this. Slapstick Festival from the 26th to 27th of January at the Colston Hall.
Cool.
It's an annual festival, returns for the 14th edition with another packed programme of extraordinary films, live musical scores and special guests. Mm. And 2018 is at the Colston Hall, is the biggest yet. Now, what they've got is live music, so which is great, and they've got also a screening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the life and career of Buster Keaton, Lee Mack plays tribute to Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. It's a late night screening of Rocky Horror Picture Show with original cast member Christopher Biggins.
Oh, I didn't know he was in it.
Yes, he was original. One of the original cast members. Now it's a
on the theatre.
That's
it's
why it's written. Called
he's
original
not in the film,
cast
is he?
Member.
Yeah, but he's not in the film, is he?
He's not in the film.
He's not in the film. Yeah. A cast member on the theatre, I think. And it's a lovely triple bill of laugh out loud comedy classics. And it's a little bit pricey if you think it's but if you think of it as a whole festival, so it's over quite a few days, and there's loads and loads of things to get. Triple bills and things like that. So it's the full price is $29.50, but students can get in for $10.50, and if you've got concessions, it's $10.50 or under 12s. So get on down there. It's this weekend. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's slapstick.
There's a Through the Ages temporary exhibition at Western Museum, and it's titled The Art of Self-Expression, Facial Hair and Tattoos, 27th of January to 13th of May, every weekday, 10 till 5. And it's an exhibition, as the title says, just on facial hair and tattoos through the ages, historical and modern. And it says get down there and you can... compare your own facial hair to those of facial hair from history.
Well, you can imagine there's quite a few LGBT folk that have facial hair and tattoos. So,
there's quite a few non-LGBT
and
folk.
It's in Weston-super-Mare.
Hello.
At the museum.
One
folks.
For the new listeners.
Is there time for one more?
Yes.
A quickie.
Yeah.
We got talks on Buddhism. So if you're interested in getting to know what that's all about, it's Wednesday, the 31st of January, between 7 and 9. That will be the Town Hall, Magdalene Street, Glastonbury. And also Thursday, the 1st of February, between 7 and 9, Rimpash will be giving a talk. The Friends Meeting House, York Street, that's in Bath. The postcode for that one is BA11NG. The guy doing the chats is Lama Kemsar Rinpoche.
I'm glad you had to say that, and I didn't.
Yeah. So if you've got any questions at all, or I'd like to get to know more about Buddhism, and this is particularly LGBTQ friendly, get yourself to those events.
Cool.
I'll put them on the website because there's a lot of detail on that one.
Marvellous. So, and we should point out on that note, we've had to temporarily suspend you being able to post your own events on the website just because it got spammed to death. If you do want to get hold of us, though, just email studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt and we will quite happily post them up for you until we can find a way to stop the spammers.
We'll go through our own guru, Andy.
there's only so many pills that we really are interested in, and then you get to 200 emails and you're like, yeah, that'll do. So, no, but seriously, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt if you have an event and you would like it listed. You never know, we may even read it out on the show.
Mm. So,
thank you all.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
Waving flag. Offside. And then it goes back. And then it goes back. It seemed kind of fitting. I've known Magsy for God knows how long. We've had him up on the big screen at the awards ceremony. He's a cult, I'm told. So, and of course, now we're dragging you into our show. You realise you crossed to the dark side now, don't you?
Yeah, I'm excited though. You're on the other side of the desk.
But Neil's here from. Are you officially here from the BCFM sports show, or is it from?
No, well, I don't think so. I think if I'm right in saying I wrote an article about this in Bristol 24/7, so I think I'm here as a freelance sports journalist.
I told you. So yeah. Diva is the other word.
Yeah.
So, and you're joined by, and make sure I get this right, I've been trying so hard to get this right, Sharifa.
Yay, hello, well done. Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, now, we're talking about laces, and in particular, a certain set of rainbow laces. Some of our listeners will have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about with that, though. So, does one of you want to give some kind of background of how this whole thing came about?
Yeah, I can go. So Rainbow Laces has been launched by Stonewall as a campaign to encourage athletes and spectators to get behind LGBT athletes. Obviously, most people know football is not great for LGBT people. So yeah, they just raised this campaign to encourage people to come forward, be open and out, and be their authentic selves whilst playing sport, mainly football, because I play football. So, yeah, that's the campaign, really.
So how long ago did it start, the campaign, do you know?
It's interesting, because it started a while ago, probably about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And was a bit of a flop. They were not met by any support by any of the sporting organisations.
But so all they had to do was wear rainbow laces.
They refused to. The athletes, well, not the athletes, footballers,
right.
were not so keen to wear the laces. So they kind of looked about how they could relaunch it with everyone getting behind it.
Because I know I'm not a football person myself. I'm not like you, Maxie. I know you're big into it, aren't you? But I know that there's been issues around things like them wanting to wear things like the red ribbon and the like, and the FA getting really kind of annoyed that you're not supposed to wear emblems and the like when you're playing football. Was that part of the reason that they wouldn't let them wear the
they've
the
had
laces,
that with, yeah, with political statements, haven't they? I think this was just probably football being quite archaic and quite dinosaur-like in its mentality,
yeah.
Maybe five, 6 years ago, and it is slowly changing. It was really embraced, wasn't it, by the professional clubs?
So
both our local clubs, Bristol Rovers and Bristol City, changed their Twitter profiles to a rainbow flag for the whole of the week. I've never seen that before in football.
And every Premier League ground in the country had pride flags all weekend, which was like, you know, it's unheard of.
So
in,
what
in
date
football.
Was that? What date was did that happen on? Then?
It was in November, December? I can't remember.
Because I'm pretty sure that I saw Man City's captain wearing
the captain
the rainbow armband.
Yeah.
So everyone got behind it.
Yeah, I couldn't
every
sort
club.
Of quite believe my eyes. And sort of, yeah, it's
same.
Amazing.
There's been a shift, because I think that probably, I think football it's made strides in other areas of diversity. Still got a long way to go, but I would say that in terms of LGBT issues, it's, you know, the crowd, the mentality of footballers, it still is quite...
It's like the last thing to kind of break through.
Yeah.
Is there a big difference between like the big people who are paid the big fortunes and the big clubs versus the smaller local ones? Do we find that the local ones are more proactive with it, or are they being led by the kind of culture that you get at the large matches like Man City?
They're being led by the culture. I think football as a whole, whether it's professional or semi-professional, it's homophobic, you know, across the board. It's just that toxic masculinity vibe all the way through. But it was great to see Bristol City and Bristol Rovers get behind the Rainbow Laces campaign. I was quite surprised they would, and yeah, it was great to see, really.
And from what I read, it was you that helped bring it back, is that right?
Well, no. I was asked.
Just pretend you did.
Yes, yeah, all me. No, I was asked by Stonewall. So I've been doing some work with them through some other stuff in Bristol to come along and be part of the relaunch in London, which is actually incredible. It's such an honour. I was on the panel with three other amazing LGBT athletes. One was a trans woman who used to be like the record holder for cycling in the UK. She came out as trans a few years ago. She was on the panel with me. The first openly gay football coach in the Premier League was with me as well. And that's great to hear his stories and how he's getting on. So I felt really honoured to be, you know, part of this amazing, you know, guest list, basically. And we just spoke about how we can improve football, being gay and being trans in sport. And it's a great evening, and everyone got behind it. Every single sporting organisation in the UK got behind it.
That's fantastic.
So it's incredible.
So with the Rainbow Laces sort of whole campaign then, is it really specifically aimed at football? Is that what we're talking about?
It's not, but I think it's mainly targeted for football because it's so homophobic. So it's starting there. But everyone's got behind it.
Yeah, sure. Because
but more at the players or at the people watching?
Even the fans. A bit of a seismic shift. I even think, as I said 2-4 years ago, I think this would have been slightly contentious. It kind of passed away without any real negativity or challenge to it, which is really interesting. Whether that's because people feel they can't do that or they believe that in their hearts, I don't know. But certainly there is a movement in football to change that. Although, however, we've seen what's happened in the press with the FA and the appointment in the women's game with Phil Neville, and you know they've got a long way to go in some regard. But
yeah, I mean, I was going to ask about that. It's obviously because it's so current, isn't it? Yeah. And I mean, what's your take on it? I mean, are you allowed to say?
Before we, for those who don't know, what's actually happened?
Yeah, so what's happened? The England ladies team were without a manager for a while. They had an interim manager who was a woman. As you maybe not know, the previous manager stepped down from being a manager because there was misconduct, racial and sexual.
He used to manage Bristol Academy.
Yeah, although he was sacked for a previous offence. Not to do with the England team.
Now they were looking for a new manager. Everyone was hoping it would be a woman. And randomly they've gotten Phil Neville to step in out of the blue, God knows why.
Or even a manager that actually had some experience in the women's game.
Exactly.
Because you know, he hasn't actually managed in the women's game at all.
Or the men's game,
Or the men's game, really. He's only been assistant manager. It's like he's been... And they have this coach pathway within the FA to encourage people from the women's game to come through. And they've just literally handpicked a big name and chucked him in. And lots of difficult questions about the recruitment process they've not been able to answer.
So everyone's saying, why him?
Yeah.
Well, they are.
I mean, classic FA.
And now he's come out in this Twitter...
Oh, what's he said on Twitter then?
There was some controversial tweets from about 6 years ago. Misogynist tweets about women. They never complete them.
And now he's running.
He did delete the account, but obviously it's the internet, so it's still floating around.
Well, a lot of the reason why a number of them stepped down even through process was actually because they said that they're going to look into their background so much that a number of them just thought, oh, forget it.
Oh, in the recruitment for the manager.
Absolutely, yeah. So even sort of in the last weeks of it. And I don't know. That's the party line.
But then I know that journalists have asked the question, well, release the candidacy list who you contacted then. And they're kind of fudging it a bit. I don't know.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that even these days that not one single Premiership player has come out. Is that still true?
So it is true. They have come out, but once they've left the game. Three or four have come out. They've retired and then come out almost instantly.
Now, that's not the same across Europe, though, is it?
Robbie Rogers in America was currently playing in the MLS whilst being openly gay. He has retired recently, but he was like one of the first openly gay footballers, professional footballers.
Do we think that's going to change anytime soon?
I'm slightly pessimistic, but you know, there's been such a shift, like Neil was saying, there's been such a shift in the in the mentality towards being gay.
Do you think it would depend on the women's game or the men's game?
No.
You don't? You think, would it be more acceptable coming out in the women's game than in the men's game?
It is, definitely. There's still some stuff to work on, I think, in the women's game. Not being gay, but I think the way that women are presented in football there's a long way to go.
There's almost a my belief is that there's a big correlation between the way women are treated and homophobia, because the two go hand in hand. So wherever you have any misogyny, you always have homophobia. So it's interesting that the women's game, they don't particularly have the same problems with homophobia, I don't think. I don't see that. There's quite a few of them are out.
I agree.
But then in other sports, if you look at tennis, if you look at hockey and rowing, let's say, really none of the women are out there apart from now the captain of the women's hockey team, I believe. And, you know, but... it's a strange one, isn't it?
It is a strange one. There is some homophobia in women's football because a lot of the women footballers are gay, but they're not openly gay. And only a few of the high profile ones have come out and said, look, I'm leading the way for women who are gay in football. So there's still some, you know, I need to work on that a little bit. But it is better than the men's game. It's like, there's still no one, which is, you know, it's sad.
But within the grassroots football, you would have female teams where maybe at the top end of the game people aren't coming out, but a bit more
grassroots.
Yeah, whereas you don't get that in grassroots. I mean, I've played football all my life from the age of 8 till, you know, obviously now my early 30s. And I've never ever met or played with or against somebody that is openly gay, which is insane.
But
it's insane.
Recently, the BBC...
However, you have probably played against someone who is gay.
100%.
Yes, definitely. 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The BBC had a video recently of a guy coming out to his team which is, yeah,
I saw that.
You see that?
Yeah,
that was great. He was, you know, really worried to come out to his Lebanese team and came out, and they were all absolutely fine about it. Which I thought, you know, it's really great to see.
If it's not the team, then is it the fans that they're worried about?
Because rugby's a little bit more forward thinking, than football. You know, you've got the local teams like the Bristol Bisons, but if you go to watch games, there is a bit more of an inclusive feel and mentality. I think it's
less toxic.
Football,
which allows you to be more open when you're watching and playing as well with rugby.
I mean, I have been to watch rugby and really enjoyed it. And the one thing I did notice was I was allowed to take my pint and my pie, and I was sat next to people supporting the other team, and it was just fun. And I'm not the greatest sporting person, but I would actually not enjoy going to a football match.
Well, it starts on the terraces in football. I mean, there are still homophobic chants that go on that are not challenged. I mean, they may be beginning to be now, I don't know.
They're not really.
You know.
I mean, some of it is a bit. I mean, we're talking about panto later, but without being, some of it is a bit panto. You know, I remember Matt Lucas talking about, you know, in Brighton, if you go to a Brighton game, they the other fans always shout, "We can see you holding hands," and all of those things, which
that still happens in the Premiership now.
Yeah,
them.
Which he laughs at, you know. So it's got, I don't know, it's the more serious side of things, I think. I mean, you know, football chanting is football chanting, isn't it? But yeah, I'm trying to think how we can, or you, how the campaign can get that out. I mean, how, you know, does it come from the players first, do you think?
I think coming from the FA and the Premier League, showing their support with, you know, LGBT footballers is really important. Having the pride flag everywhere, having the armbands, just making us visible and saying it's okay to be gay or whatever it is a really good start. I think that's how we're going to combat it, just being visible and getting us out there in any way we can.
Yeah. Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to talk to the pair of you. Are these rainbow laces something anyone can buy? Can you go
on eBay?
Although you could make a bit of money. You could sell them for £5.
I've got one pair left.
Go to neilmags.com. Is that what you're saying?
My bank details.
You're not getting them directly from Stonewall then now? Or?
You can as well, Stonewall and
cool.
eBay.
Okay. Yeah, I would suggest buying them from Stonewall. Yeah. At least there might be some money going to a charity. We talked about it before. People want to find out more about it. Is it a Facebook group we're pointing them to, or?
Yes, there's a. I'm part of a BME LGBT group in Bristol called Kiki Bristol. We're on Facebook and we're called Kiki Bristol. Like us and watch out for any events coming up.
Cool. And look out for the rainbow laces next time you're at a match. So, listen, thank you both for coming in. It's been lovely to hear about
it.
And
fingers
crossed we see homophobia and the like start to disappear out of the sport in the next few years and perhaps catch the rest of the world up. It would be nice, wouldn't
definitely.
It?
Indeed.
Anyway, news headlines is up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Carnival de Paris. You can say Paris.
Yeah, I like the old football thing going on there as well.
Yeah, well, it was Magsy. You know, got to make him feel at home, haven't we, Ivan?
Absolutely, yes.
So that was very restrained for him, actually. So you normally can't shut him up.
No. Well, he's got his own sports show, hasn't he, as well?
Do you know what time it's on, his sports show?
It's called the Midweek Sports Bar on BCFM, but it's actually not midweek. It's on Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m.
Oh, and it's sort of midweek. Nearly. Well, it depends how wide you want the middle to be.
It's a misnomer, I suppose. If you could tell yourself it's midweek, it's great.
Yeah, but worth tuning into. So, anyway, Ivan and Lucy are here. Hello, Lucy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Should we get some news headlines?
Go on then. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 25th of January.
The Times newspaper was amongst those paying tribute this week to Professor Alan Sinfield, who has died at the age of 75. Professor Sinfield was an expert in English literature at the University of Sussex at Brighton and an author of around a dozen books. He also convened the study programme Sexual Dissidents and brought American-style queer theory to British shores. Professor Sinfield analysed popular cultures and trends and found the homoerotic undertones in phenomena such as boy bands, skinheads and football teams. He also took time out from studies to offer his support to the new queer activism of the 1990s, backing groups such as ACT UP and Outrage. "I don't care if they're silly," he quipped in Gay Times back in 1992. "They're having a major effect on social change." Professor Sinfield retired in 2004 and lived with his partner in a rural cottage in Shropshire until his death.
We like to report on outlets for LGBT-friendly music, and over at the West Country's newest music outlet, the digital station Soul Train, plans have been announced to wake the region up on a Saturday morning with a disco show, with tracks that formed the soundtrack to the liberation movements of the 70s, like Black Power, Latino Pride and Gay Liberation. The new programme goes out at 10 on a Saturday morning. Not to be outdone, the well-respected internet broadcaster Passion Radio Bristol, who were founded nearly a quarter of a century ago, revisits the music that many gay and lesbian people embraced as part of their bohemian identity in the middle part of the 20th century, namely jazz. Again, starting at 10, this show is hosted by DJ Tokebetsu Kun.
Radio Free Europe reports that Russian attitudes towards homosexuality and a whole host of other social issues are hardening compared to what they were when communism collapsed. In a poll, 83% of Russian citizens said they found same-sex relationships almost always reprehensible. Just 8% of those polled said they did not mind if people were in a same-sex coupling. Radio Free Europe is disliked by the Kremlin for its fair reportage of LGBT issues, amongst many other things. The Russian state would like to clamp down on these. The station is financed from a no-strings endowment from the US government and has for the last 70 years been loved by free-thinking people in the Eastern Bloc countries for its commitment to uncensored information.
Churches and denominations that welcome LGBT people and carry out same-sex weddings have a positive windfall in that their congregations often grow. According to research conducted by Leeds and York Universities, LGBT people and allies often note where they will be welcomed by faith communities and take their support to those congregations. Just 182 churches of any denomination carry out same-sex wedding ceremonies.
In the majority gay populated city of Palm Springs, California, Councilwoman Christy Gilbert Holstege was recently elected to the local government. She was surprised, however, by the amount of biphobia she received as an openly bisexual candidate, not from heterosexual voters, but from parts of the lesbian and gay male communities. She talks to the Advocate magazine this month about her experiences, and we've linked to the piece so you can read it.
Tributes have been paid to Simon Shelton Barnes, a performance actor who has died at the age of 52. Mr. Shelton Barnes was most famous for playing Tinky Winky, the character in the 1990s classic kids show Teletubbies, who raised eyebrows for his gender nonconformity. At one point, US evangelist Jerry Falwell claimed that Tinky Winky was part of a gay conspiracy, with his inverted triangle aerial and purple colouring. But this just helped fuel the love in which the character was held.
And finally, our very own Terry Starr has achieved a small ambition. The self-professed radio anorak has had his personal top 15 broadcast by the famous Radio Caroline, an ex-pirate station which kick-started pop music radio in the 60s. His top 15 was transmitted last Tuesday and was hosted by one of his radio heroes, Peter Phillips. It included tracks by Public Image Limited, Donna Summer, Cocteau Twins and Renaissance.
For these news stories and more, visit shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Lucy Potter.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Nights by Avicii.
Avicii.
I, you know me.
That's got an Italian feel about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. Well, I really like Avicii. And Ivan won't mind because it's not pentatonic.
Do you know what? Anything that I can tap to my foot to. I'm very Catholic in my taste.
I thought of you. I have a show tune coming up for you.
Yeah, yes, I saw. I just saw what's coming. And quite appropriate too, really, when
well,
you think about it.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Now, normally we would intro the pieces, but seeing as you did it and you're in the studio, I thought it'd be very nice for you to tell us what's going on.
Are you guys into Panto at all?
I used to love Panto.
I've just gone through the Panto season of 6 weeks. So I've seen it about... saw our Panto about 70 times.
Oh, right. Well, let me
I'm going to say hello to everyone at Nails and Musicals who's on the stage as we speak as well, because they're performing their Panto at the moment.
Indeed. Well, I was going to say, oh, yes, you do, but that's kind of going to fall flat now. So, yes, I interviewed Courtney Jackson, who's one of the local directors of musical theatre in the region, for my show Showtime that goes out on Pirate Nation Radio and BCFM, if you're listening on one of those two stations tonight. So here's what he had to say. Now, in the studio with me today is singer, actor, choreographer, and goodness knows what, Courtney Jackson, alongside actor Connor Vickery. Hello to both of you.
Hello, good morning.
Courtney, it's been such a long time since I've seen you doing stuff on the stage. I think the last time I saw you was over in the Canary Islands wearing a dress in the Music Hall Tavern. That was a lot of fun doing that,
That was me, yes. Yeah, that was quite a few years ago, wasn't it? I had a great time. I had a really, really good time. I was there. I was with them for about 3 years in the end, actually. Yeah, it was wonderful. Fabulous.
But hard work as well.
Very hard work. Very hard work.
And what have you been up to since?
So since then, I done an extra year over in Gran Canaria. I carried on doing drag for a year over there. And then I decided to move back to the UK and concentrate more on teaching and choreographing, which, yeah, brought me back to Bristol. And I still do a bit of the drag on the side.
And with regards to the choreography, you choreographed the Bristol Light Opera Company, or they're known as Block now, for My Fair Lady just last October, didn't you?
I did indeed. Yeah, it was wonderful. They were a great company to work for. I had so much fun. And, yeah, having the opportunity to choreograph for a show at the Bristol Hippodrome was just amazing. I sort of sat and watched the show every night and always had a little tear in my eye. It was a very proud moment. I loved it.
And Connor, you're a local singer here. I think we've seen you before at the Secret Cabaret. Is that a big thing for you, singing? You love it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been singing for a while now, since I was 10 in secondary school, not secondary school, primary school even. Didn't know you could go to secondary school at 10 years old. And yeah, I've been loving it ever since, and been here, there and everywhere all around the Bristol Amdram circuit.
Now you've actually got together, you're doing stuff together. Courtney, what are you up to? What's your latest production?
So my latest production is, well, what we're here to talk about, Cinderella.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I had to think about it then. I've just finished another panto. I've just done Snow White, and it's been quite confusing because I was playing the dame in Snow White, Sally Sausage, up in Newcastle. And one performance, I did actually walk on stage, and one of the lines from Muddles was, "What are you doing here in the haunted forest?" And my line was supposed to be, "I'm looking for Snow White." And I went, "I'm looking for Cinderella." So that caused a lot of confusion.
That can cause all of it, because there's a sort of princessy type element to both, isn't
absolutely
there?
That also happened to be easily, the night I was there with you.
Yeah, it's easily done.
So you're now working together, both of you, on Cinderella. So tell us a little bit about that production. What's involved there?
Well, it's quite a big project for me. I've always been very passionate about pantomime, and I kind of thought there was a bit of a gap in the market in Bristol this year. You sort of have the main pantomime at the Bristol Hippodrome, and
that's Aladdin, isn't it?
Aladdin
going on forever, isn't it?
Which,
it's a really long run,
which was fabulous. I've got to say, it was amazing. Quite quickly, I kind of thought in my head, I could get a nice cast together, a really strong cast. I've also directed and wrote a production of Cinderella before for the company in Lanzarote, actually. So it was very different. That was an all-drag panto, but I had the basic script there. And I thought, why not give it a go? And then 6 months down the line, it's happening.
So you put all this together. I mean, what is your role? Because you're on stage, but sometimes you're a choreographer and a director. What is your role in Cinderella?
Well, I just do everything, and then I'm in it as well.
Are you in it?
I'm in it, yeah. I play the evil stepmother, which is quite nice, because I don't have to smile, so that's really
lovely. You don't have to smile, so that's in drag, obviously, as
in
well.
Drag, yeah.
But what do you like doing best, though? You know, do you like the directing, the choreographer, or do you like being there on the stage, under the spotlight?
Oh, gosh. I love being on the production team. I love choreographing. I think that's probably... That probably has become my biggest passion, but I am one of them. I'm one of them production team people that can't quite get away from being on the stage. I don't think I could sit there and in the audience every night watching it. I'd have to be in it somehow. So my role's quite small. I've not written too big a part for me.
And Connor, what are you playing? What's your role in Cinderella?
I'm playing...
Not Cinderella, obviously.
You're no, not unfortunately not. No. I would have loved to have been Cinderella, right. But no, I'm playing Buttons.
Lovely.
And lovely, adorable Buttons.
Well, just explain for people who don't know, you know, who haven't been to see Cinderella, don't know who Buttons is and what he does and who he's related to. Just let people know.
So Buttons is the servant to the stepmother and the two ugly sisters. And he is absolutely in love with Cinderella, loves everything about her, sweet, kind of beautiful. I think the words are in the script. And he just
is the comedy character all throughout. So is the one that tells all the jokes and gets all the laughs.
Have you adjusted any of those jokes yourself, or have you?
he's added 45 minutes onto the show.
So the director's cut could be a very long show. Is that what it is?
We do love a joke. Yeah, I love a good laugh from the audience. The audience keep you going.
So no drag for you, but of course you must have the Ugly Sisters in there as well.
Yeah, we've got the Ugly Sisters. It was I've created them slightly different to how I'd usually have the Ugly Sisters, because I think because I'm there in drag, I don't want there to be too much of that drag element going on.
In other words, what you're saying is, and I'm going to put words into your mouth, is that you don't wish to be outshone. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what you mean. I've kind of gone with them. They're not so glamorous. They're a bit more... I've made them a bit more bloke in a dress.
A bit more dowdy.
Yeah, a bit more dowdy.
Right, but okay. How do they feel about that when you approach them and say, well, actually, you're not going to be as glamorous as you might think you might be, gentlemen. You're going to be a bit more dowdy. How did they take that?
To be honest, they've really surprised me, because the two guys we've got the lovely Dave Evans and Jack Blackmore. That's it. And they're wonderful. They're both very, very. They're very much actors, and that's what I love about them. They're not overly camp or anything. So they play it really very much for the comedy, and it works.
So they're quite blokey Ugly Sisters.
Yeah, they are actually, but it's very funny.
It's
but,
like Little and Large. That's a
very good description. Yeah.
We've got Ellen Corbett, who is... She's only young, isn't she?
Yes, she is indeed.
Yeah, she's quite young. So, but I went to see her... When it was very much still an idea in my head to do Cinderella, I went to watch a cabaret show up. Who was it? Ivy Arts, yeah, up in West Park, and she came on and she sang a number. I think it was a number from Miss Saigon, and straight away I was like, I need her as Cinderella. I'd never met her before in my life, and I was like, I need this girl. So I sort of found a few people who knew her. I sent her a message, and she's been absolutely perfect. She's perfect for it. She's wonderful, yeah.
And where's it on? And more importantly, when's it on?
So we're on from the 1st of February till the 3rd of February, and it's on at the Bristol Improv Theatre, which is up in Clifton.
And Connor, you're going to be in Cinderella 2. Will we be seeing you on the Secret Cabaret stage anytime soon? Are you booked in yet?
Well, we don't know. I just have to get the all-important message from Angus, who runs it.
He says you're on. He's been on the show before. And Courtney, next project for you.
I've got a couple of things coming up. I'm co-choreographing Priscilla Queen of the Desert for Bristol Musical Comedy Club. And also I've just started work on High Society for Bristol Musical Theatre Company.
Goodness
me. I hope
me.
I've got the name right.
Courtney Jackson and Connor Vickery, thank you so much for coming into the studio and talking to me today about Cinderella.
Thank you for having us.
We hope to see you there. Oh yes, we do.
Oh yes, I'll be there. Thanks, guys. For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout. LGBT radio for you. The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, that seemed quite fitting to follow from Panto.
Oh, you've got to have a bit of South Pacific. that was from the movie recording, wasn't it? Rather, yes.
Yeah, South Pacific.
And the sound of that orchestra, it was huge. Yeah. Huge. We don't get that in the pit these days, do you, Rose?
I don't know. We do. We have a very big pit.
No, you don't get so. Yeah, but you normally 10 to 15 most, isn't it? Musicians in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. Not when we have opera. We have it's rammed.
Opera's different.
We're talking
Panto and show tunes.
Oh, Panto. We only have three.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Not a lot. That song is very often done in Panto as well, isn't it?
I think when people sort of adopt all kinds of different things, bit of pop, bit of musical theatre,
bit of
everything, which I think is what's going to be happening in Cinderella, actually. Go get a ticket. I've got one.
Yeah.
I'll be there on the Saturday.
Go for it. It's a bit of fun,
Cinderella.
Isn't it?
Cinderella. Well, is here at the Hippodrome?
No, Cinderella that we've just been talking about on the interview there. Yes. But,
sounds good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Sounds like really good fun. That was quite a funny interview, to be fair.
Courtney is a laugh, absolute laugh, and he's great in drag as well. Completely change a person. Well, actually, I was going to say change his personality, but he's pretty much the same, to be honest, I think, from what I've seen over the years. But there you go.
So, we've got lots of good shows coming. Did I see Wicked is coming back?
Wicked's here for about 6 or 7 weeks.
I've not seen it yet.
If you go and listen to some of the back things of Showtime, you can hear me talking to some of the cast that are coming on.
Your place is up in Cheltenham, and you've got Hairspray.
Oh, Oh, we've got Hairspray coming, yes. So yes, and really and you're one. Going to be interviewing Ivan.
I'll be speaking to Rebecca Mendoza. Yes. She's the lead that she's brand new, straight out of musical theatre school. Yeah. She's got that lead.
Listeners can't see it at the moment, but it has to be said your jumper is brilliant. Oh, it's got theatre spelt the American way and then the ER at the end crossed out and RE written above it.
It's a little bit snobby, but yeah. There you go.
Do you wear that when you go to the States?
I have done, yes. I have done that. And actually, I wear it at the theatre as well, which is even quite funnier as well. So,
I was going to say, I think Polly's asked us to do a little bit of a favour for Brigstow.
Our lovely friends at Brigstow, who actually are based in the same building where Shout Out is broadcast here at BCFM, they are recruiting for a skilled and experienced administrator. It's a 1-year contract. And if you didn't know, Brigstow provides services for people who are living with and who are affected by HIV. And the responsibilities, they say, for the job are going to be providing a warm and welcome reception for all incoming inquiries, doing all the admin, providing support, facilities and IT management, finance administration. And it's a full-time role, and it's 37 hours a week. It's a 1-year contract, but it is a full-time job. And I'm surprised nobody's snapped it up yet. So if you want more information about it, go to the Brigstow website, which is brigstow.org, or you can, that's BRIGSTOWE.org, or you can email them directly, info@brigstow.org, and get all the information there. They've got an application.
They're
pack.
Lovely as well.
They are lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
That's what I was going to say. That's what we can verify here as a team, that they will be a lovely, lovely employee and colleagues.
That definitely. they're a small team, but they are all lovely people. Mm. Lovely, lovely people. They do lots of fantastic work. Fantastic. Yeah.
So now, what's coming up on your next showtime?
On my next showtime? Now, I was going to be speaking to Rebecca Mendoza, as we've heard about from Hairspray. She's about to lead it there, but sadly, she's indisposed. So it's left me with a bit of a blank for next week's showtime, actually. So it'll be me going down my request list. I've got a list of requests from people that write to me and say, oh, can I have this song? Can I have that song? And I'm always having to say, no, I can only fit two in per show. But it's handy for when things like this happen and a star goes down, so to speak, and is unavailable. And I can slip another couple of requests in. So it all works out quite well. If you want to listen to Showtime, you can catch it on BCFM every Tuesday lunchtime at 1 p.m, repeated at midnight, and on Pirate Nation Radio 3 p.m. in the afternoons on a Sunday. So no excuse not to miss it.
No, and you can listen again on BCFM.
Of course,
there's you can listen to it twice. Yes, you can listen to it three times.
Yes, bcfmradio.com/showtime, and you can listen to all of the Showtime.
Or tune in most mornings, you dear Ivan. Or listen to Shout Out.
Oh, that's if I do. Then
your whole life be a show.
I do get around a bit.
You're very showbiz. It's lovely. It's
should have
fun.
A microphone glued to my mouth, really.
You get some cracking interviews. We can't really complain.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, it's all available to listen to again or download.
Yeah, just head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt and click on the shows.
Next week, we kick off LGBT Plus History Month. But myself and the rest of the team, and Louis in the background, shout it nice and loud. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.